Grace, mercy, and peace is abundantly yours. May it be so in this divine service today. The text is the gospel read to you from Matthew chapter 5. A question that may have been asked of you and may not, but it's a question that I suspect is certainly a valid question to be asked of you. Many of you have come here to Divine Shepherd year after year, and you come here faithfully Sunday after Sunday. And a question that someone who notices that in your lifestyle would ask you is, why do you come here? You do it Sunday after Sunday. Why do you come? Indeed, some would say the answer could be a wrong answer, but if it's an honest answer, it cannot be a wrong answer, and the answer may differ for many of you. To be sure, those who established this place indeed had a purpose in establishing it, and they hope that that purpose is the reason why you are here, but you may not be aware of that purpose, and you have your own reason for being here. I think if you would ask the county assessor why you are here this morning, he might have an answer. It may not be the complete answer, but I believe it's the right answer. And what would the answer of the county assessor be as to why you are here this morning? What does the assessor do? Well, he does not assess the local police department with taxes. He does not assess the local fire department with taxes. He does not assess the village hall with taxes. He doesn't assess a hospital that is a nonprofit hospital with taxes. He doesn't assess the local schools with taxes. And that's where we might have some significant relationship, because we do have what we call a Sunday school. And while we call this a divine service, we also have classes here. And why is the school there? Why is the fire department there? Why is the village hall? Why are the hospitals there? That's the same reason why we are also not assessed taxes, because those are places where people are indeed helped. They are helped to do good. That's really what the schools are there for. And we have our school, our classes here. And so an answer that someone gave recently, I'm not sure whether I heard it or read it, but they said they come to church for the purpose of being told how to live. And indeed, I would think that's at least a partially correct answer, that you are coming here to be taught how to live. Jesus says in the gospel this morning, you are the salt of the earth. He doesn't tell you immediately how you have come to be salt, but he certainly suggests as what you are to do as the salt of the earth, what you are to do as the light of the world. And I would pray that's a reason for your being here. How do I fulfill my role as salt? How do I fulfill my role as the light? How do I shine? How do I indeed preserve? That's what salt does, preserves things. And indeed, that's where we come to the holy commandments of God. The commandments of God, I suspect the local assessor wouldn't do much expecting out of you from the first table of the law. But indeed, I might think that he would think that you're coming here to realize that there is someone higher than you to whom you are responsible, and indeed you have to hear his word, and you are not to take his name, that is, his word, in vain, but what he says you are to do, and you are to come here Sunday after Sunday, that indeed you might hear more of the direction that your Creator gives to you through his word. Then, of course, we come to the second table of the law, and he'd be much more familiar with what he would expect you to be taught here, that you would, leaving this place, go out and do in your life to make the community indeed a place in which people find contentment and they don't find conflict, but they find peace. Oh, yes, that fourth commandment to honor parents, they would certainly expect that of children, but we are also all children, and although our parents may not be here any longer to guide and supervise us, the government is there, and they would expect you to be taught here that indeed the government is there. You are to pay your taxes. You are to observe the speed limits so that there is safety, that there is protection, that there are resources to build more streets and to build more schools. Indeed, and then they certainly would expect, and I hope that you're also here, not only to be taught that which we automatically know, it's the our nature says don't kill anybody, but here we come to be encouraged to help people in need. Indeed, that we, as Luther teaches us in the commandment, indeed we are not to hurt someone and harm them, but to help them in every, and indeed you are here to be challenged or to show how to do that. I'm not sure what our culture will do with the sixth commandment because of what our culture has done with that commandment, but I suspect that they would not, you would have to live a moral life, or indeed you don't freely exercise your sexual instincts, but that you govern them and live in the unity that God has given you in your marriage. And then surely the government would expect you to be challenged here to go out and lead honest lives. Indeed, if your neighbor suffers some loss, that you help him overcome that, that you don't use devices to take from him things in a dishonest way. And then while we certainly are given freedom of speech in this country, our government would hope, the assessor would hope, that you weren't here to not only control your tongue, but to use your tongue to build up the community. What a powerful weapon God has given to you in the gift of speech, and how you know how much you love to hear people say a kind word toward you, a pleasant word, that you are urged here to do the same to your neighbor. Indeed, that is how we are the salt. That's indeed how we are the light of the world. Did you hear what Isaiah said? He began by saying, when you go fasting as you are currently fasting, he told his people simply to draw attention to yourselves, to have people notice yourself. But what he said is real fasting. Let me read again the words of this morning's Old Testament, challenging you, indeed, hearing here, you've come here to hear the word of God, to be led in the way in which God and also our culture hopes that you are led. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Now here you are the light of the world. Then shall your light break forth as the dawn. So we come here to be challenged, to hear the word that challenges us to go forth and simply to be good citizens. That's one reason you are here. And then if you are following the text, it's really divided into three. Jesus then says, I have not come to destroy the word. I have come to fulfill every word. There were those who challenged Jesus as one who took the word that indeed God had given to teach people how to live, and he twisted that. He was a false teacher because of what he said and did, especially in regard to the third commandment and keeping the third commandment. And he says, no, I have come to I have come, and it gets somewhat strange here, I have come to fulfill the law. Not one iota, not one dot will be taken. I have come to fulfill the law. What does he mean by that? And then the last thing in the text, when it says that except your righteousness, you have come here to be shown how to live. And then the text says, except your righteousness,
Christ had just said, I have come to fulfill righteousness. And he says, now yours has to exceed that of the Pharisees. As they looked at the law, the third commandment among all the commandments, they included things in the fulfilling of the law that God had never intended. But Jesus says, except your righteousness exceeds that. I suspect the Pharisees, looking at any one of you women here today, would say you're breaking the third commandment. Why? How many of you have any kind of jewelry on? You're carrying something on the third commandment. That's breaking by the Pharisees. And Jesus says you have to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Otherwise what? Well, if you don't pay your taxes, you may indeed be punished by the county assessor. If we don't fulfill God's law, there's a consequence for that. And how does he want us to fulfill that law? Oh, Wilbur Lickey, he was our English teacher in sophomores in high school. You know what dictation is? He gave us dictation. And he would dictate a paragraph to us. And he said, you will not pass English 2 unless you have the paragraph perfect. Every comma, every semicolon, every colon, every spelling had to be correct to pass English 2. That's kind of like God when he says, if you keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, you're guilty of all. Oh, what a way to start. You're the salt and light of the earth. This is what you are to do. And you have to do it perfectly. If you don't, you're not a part of my kingdom. That's the word of God. That's the law. You come here to be told what to do, yes, but that wasn't the whole answer. You come here not only to be told what to do. You come here to receive something. You come here to receive something. The county assessor might not say that, but that's indeed the purpose of your being here. We who indeed are the salt of the earth, who have not been as salty, who have not let our light shine the way God wants it. We have confessed that, but we have come here to receive what? The Christ says he has come to fulfill all righteousness. Indeed, that's what we heard in his baptism. That's why he was baptized. That's why he came. All that God wants us to do, all the saltiness we should have been and be, all the light, he is that light. He is that salt. And his task, because he took our failures upon him, brought him to the cross. And there he suffered and died. And the third day, rise again. You come here not only to be told how to live, knowing we haven't done that. We come here to receive Christ. And that's how we become the salt and the light of the earth. Because here he enters our life, who is the ultimate salt of preservation and salvation. He is the light of the world. We come here confessing our sin, knowing we are his salt, who haven't been salty. We are his light, and we have not indeed brightened the world. We have failed. We come here to receive him, that with his power and his spirit within us, we go forth to be light and to be salt. People don't read the papers anymore, but yesterday's Friday's Tribune had on the third page an interesting story. Kirk Douglas recently died. Recall how old he was? 103 years old. It's an interesting story. One of the Tribune editors writes, but how many remember him? Oh, the article said he may have been looked upon as the greatest actor ever. You may not agree with that judgment, but certainly we know he was great. But what did he say? He was writing an article, and he said that if children are reading this article, they'll ask, who's Kirk Douglas? And the article went on to say, indeed, all of us, at best, will only be a footnote in history. How many remember in this world where movies are so great, Kirk Douglas, or many of us might, but it went on to say, in years from now, he'll be totally forgotten. And indeed, the article went on to say, we're only a footnote, hardly a footnote. We too will be forgotten. And the challenge of the article is the challenge that the county assessor hopes that you fulfill here. The article goes on to say, our purpose in being here is indeed to simply plant the seeds that the world in which we live might be a better world in the future. But that's why we come here, the assessor would say. Indeed, that is why. But as I finish reading that article, what a depressing thing to say. I'll be totally forgotten. And indeed, that's the truth. If they don't know who Kirk Douglas is, even as he has now died, how will it be for us? But here, we receive not only admonition and direction how to live. Here, we receive Christ. Indeed, in confirmation class, from everlasting to everlasting, in this world where everything is forgotten and the world will forget us, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And in the next chapter, Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Father, what a wonderful thing to call him who is everlasting to everlasting Father, because the Father has sent his Son to be our brother, and through his Son, we have become the children of God. And that's the assurance we have in this place. When the world is simply a temporal endeavor, and all will be forgotten by the world, you are the children of God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And that's the gospel to hear here. Your brother went to the cross for you, that you might not only be his brother, but his child of God. What a blessing to be that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.